So on my way here, I was rushing to get here, and I didn't have breakfast. And I was planning on after Sunday school going to McDonald's and getting something, but that was my plan. The Lord had different plans, and downstairs is food, and they gave me some noodles. So I feel amazing right now. Replenished, rejuvenized, and rejuvenated. So a lot of y'all, we did the lesson this morning on Psalm 138. And as I said, I'm preaching on Psalm 138. So a lot of y'all have already got a little bit of the message already, but this is good. So y'all gonna hear me say the verse again, and y'all not gonna forget this at the end of today. Y'all gonna have it memorized, trust me. But let's pray, and take the time to pray, and then we'll get into it. Dear Lord, thank you for this time. Thank you for the opportunity to be able to preach your word. I pray that you use me. Thank you for the people that are here praying, Lord, that this word to touch our heart, their hearts and their souls, and be able to do a mighty work in their hearts, Lord, in this time of Thanksgiving, that, Lord, that they could be encouraged and motivated and moved to thank you for all that you are doing, Lord. We thank you for all that you do. Jesus, I pray. Amen. So if you could open up your Bibles to Psalm 138. And it says, I give you thanks, O Lord, with my whole heart. Before the gods, I sing your praise. I bow down towards your holy temple and give thanks to your name for your steadfast love and your faithfulness. For you have exalted above all things your name and your word. On the day I called, you answered me. My strength of soul you increased. All the kings of the earth shall give you thanks, O Lord, for they have heard the words of your mouth. And they shall sing of the ways of the Lord, for great is the glory of the Lord. For though the Lord is high, he regards the lowly, but the haughty he knows from afar. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, you preserve my life. You stretch out your hand against the wrath of my enemies, and your right hand delivers me. The Lord will fulfill his purpose for me, and your steadfast love, O Lord, endures forever. Do not forsake the work of your hands. This is the word of the Lord. Amen. So when I was younger, I would remember Thanksgiving dinners. As my mom would wake up at 4 a.m. To start cooking the meals. And I would probably wake up around 7 or 8 a.m. to watch shows. And then eventually the smell of the food would kind of lure me to the kitchen to see what's going on. And as I would get in there, my mom would have a broom ready for me to start cleaning up the house. Now, I didn't mind, you know, like she's been up since 4 a.m. It's the least that I can do. You know, maybe the food, this could be helpful. She doesn't have to clean. And Thanksgiving dinner, lunch could be around 12 p.m., but that never happens. 12 p.m. goes, 1 p.m., 2 p.m., 3 p.m., it's still not ready. My stomach is in my back, I'm starving, right? Ready for this food to be here, to be ready. And thankfully, maybe around 4 or 5, the food is ready. My family is surrounded around the table, and we're getting ready. And I'm ready to dig in, but I remember we got to say grace, right? We got to thank the Lord. It should be quick, but my dad is a prayer warrior. And he uses this time to thank God for everything. In detail, for the sun, the stars, and the moon, for the table, for the person who made the table, for the person who made the table. So, and so forth. So, how many of you guys have experienced this before? How many of you have, during a prayer, have visibly seen the steam from the mashed potatoes disappear? Family, you are not alone. I, too, have faced this trial and tribulation. Why must saying grace take so long? Why do we need to thank God and remember all that he has done? Why can't we get straight to the meal? Friends, only if you knew what it took for that meal to be prepared in front of you, maybe then you would be more thankful. Only if you knew the sacrifice that was made on your behalf so you can enjoy the beans, greens, potatoes, tomatoes, chicken, turkey, lamb, you name it. And I might be sounding like some of your mothers right now, but this message is for all of us. How often do we forget of the Lord's goodness and forget to praise Him for all that He has done? How many times have you finished up a work week and hardly got through the 40 hours? Who was there to keep you awake when you had to finish an assignment at 11:59? Who was there to give you the strength to go another day when you were suffering from crippling depression or anxiety? Who invited you into their family when you had no family during the holidays to spend it with? The truth is, the Lord hasn't given up on you, and He never will. So for today's message, we only have one point. This is the first time I've ever done a sermon and only have one point. So it doesn't mean we're going to finish sooner, but it's exciting that it's super easy. The point for today is give thanks to the Lord. Sweet and simple. Give thanks to the Lord. David, the author of this psalm, is giving us a reason to praise God. As we begin this service, we started with songs of worship. And can we clap it up for the worship team, actually? That's a beautiful thing, and we want to be able to thank you guys, because the worship not only doesn't get prepared for the message, but it's a beautiful time to give thanks to our Lord, right? To see what He is doing. I feel like the last time, a few times I was here and seeing the worship, and it was still good, but just seeing the amount of people. We have a violin on stage, we have a bass guitar, we got singers. Like, I mean, this is a beautiful thing. You know, when you start from seeing a church from scratch, like, it's very minimal. To see how many people are here today, that's the Lord's goodness. So being able to start the worship with praising the Lord and His holy name, we thank God for what He has done, because the only way that we know what God is like is through His actions. So as a result, we boldly confess how amazing He is. So in the first three verses, it reveals how we exalt the Lord. So David, who wrote this psalm, right? In verse 1, he says, "I give you thanks, O Lord, with my whole heart. Before the gods, I sing your praise." Now, there's a few different interpretations of what he means by "before the gods." Some in between, maybe they might think it's the foreign gods, some the angels. But the interpretation that I feel I move more towards the view of is that David here is talking about the gods as if the kings and the judges of that day. Because David was a king himself. And he wanted to sing praises to God in front of his peers, in front of the other kings that were there. He wanted to praise God, and he wanted to be an example for them and how they should be praising God. And we see this in verse 4 when he says, "All the kings of the earth shall give you thanks, O Lord." As a reason for this interpretation. So what might be keeping you from boldly praising the Lord in front of your friends, in front of your coworkers, in front of your classmates? Is it that you believe more in your work and in your merit instead? Is it that you believe that all your effort is the reason why you're here today? Is that what keeps you from giving praise boldly to those who are in front of you? I fear that this is most likely our thought process, is that we think that we are the ones who are to thank for our accomplishments today. I started watching this show on Apple TV. I start a lot of shows and don't finish them. I really only got the first few episodes. But the first episode was really powerful, because in this episode, the TV show is called Swagger. And it's a high school student. It's a high school player whose name is Jace. And he's ranked number one nationally as a basketball player. And in the first scene, he's running down this hill, and his mom is next to the car recording him. And he runs back And then he goes out and does some push-ups. And his mom is recording him. And it's around 4 a.m. in the morning. And it shows they do this every single morning. Now, I'm not surprised that he's the number one player in the nation, not only because of his God-given talent. He's around 6'4". He's lengthy. He can shoot the ball well. But it's, another reason is because of his mom. His mom is so dedicated to his success that she is willing, she probably has work later that day, and he has school later that day, and she is willing to wake up to be with him, for him to train and to do what he needs to be able to be successful. He had the support of a loving mother. And many times in the NBA or the NFL, whenever you see someone get drafted into the league, a lot of the time, the first thing they do is they thank their mom, or they thank their parent, or they thank the loved one. They want to thank them because, man, my mom was there to provide for me, to give me food on the table. She brought me, she would wake up early and turn her headlights on while I practiced in the dark. She's the reason that I'm here today. And it makes sense, right? Because they supported them. Just imagine how crazy it would be if a player came up and said, well, I just want to go ahead and thank myself. I'm the reason I'm here. I brought myself here. All glory to me. We would be like, what are you talking about? You're not only disrespecting the people, your mom or the person who's helped you, but you're failing to see what it took and who it took for you to get to where you are. It would be ridiculous. And in the same way, this is how we look when we take credit for the one who puts life in our lungs, who's constructed our limbs, the one who gives us wisdom and discernment. We ought to know that God does these things for us because he loves us and he is faithful. And we see this, that David acknowledges that the Lord has rescued him before. The account of rescue is not limited to a single time. David is not simply saying, well, God, thank you for that one time when you went out and pulled through for me. He is saying that this is time and time again that the Lord has been faithful to him. That the resulting of this rescue is that the Lord is empowering him. He says, my strength of soul you increase. As we sung earlier, as we preach to our souls, to not be shy, to be increased. Jason Wilson, the author of Battle Cry, explains the soul as this. The soul as the seat of our emotions, influencing our thoughts, passions, desires, and actions, and can be easily shaken when adversity comes. He later goes on to explain how there's storms and hardships and is a part of our lives, and how they define, and how these hardships and storms define us and give us an opportunity for spiritual training and growth. And in the same way, when we recognize and acknowledge what the Lord is doing for us, it is feeding our soul. It's increasing our soul. We're being reminded that we have someone who is tender, who is gentle, who we could trust with our hearts, our souls, and our lives. This is an important thing to remember. So when we decide to ignore the goodness of the Lord and simply focus on the worries of life, we're missing out on the opportunities for our souls to be lifted up. Our flesh constantly wants us to focus on what we lack, on what we don't have. It is not to say that we shouldn't acknowledge when we need help or when we need things, but when we fail to see where the Lord has blessed us abundantly, then our hearts are miss out on that opportunity to be lifted up, for our souls to be lifted up. And this video I saw on Instagram really paints this picture really well of Adam and Eve in the garden. And how strategic it is how the Lord placed the tree of the knowledge of good and evil in the middle of the garden. And for Adam and Eve to be able to get to the tree of knowledge of good and evil, they would have to go ahead and pass all of the trees that have oranges and all the other fruits that are there, the vegetation, all the things that could really satisfy their hunger. They would have to pass all of the abundance to get to where they lack. How often do we focus so much on what we don't have? How often do we forget how the Lord is blessing us and has blessed us abundantly? Maybe if you knew that in Jesus that you had all that you needed, maybe then you would be thankful. Maybe if you stop focusing on the car that you don't have, you'd realize there's good public transportation for you to get to your job. Maybe if you stop worrying about how you didn't get into the school that you applied to, you would know that there are teachers at your state college that are willing to pour into you and really be present in your life. Maybe if you stop focusing on what that other family has, you would realize that you also have a beautiful family, wife, and kids. The grass is green where you work on it, where you plant it, where you actually do the work. They say that grass is green on the other side, but your grass starts to die when you focus so much on the grass next door. So for that reason, the name that is above every name, that the name that is the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of the Father, of God the Father. See this in Philippians 2, 9 through 11. And in verses 4 and 5, we get this description of the coming day of Jesus. And that David is basically saying that he sees the current kings of this world might be challenging and resisting the authority of God, but when the true King Jesus comes, the Lord of Lords comes, the King, they shall give him thanks and shall sing his praises. That, and this could be applied to us as well, that we have our modern day kings and judges. We have our presidents, our bosses, who need to worship Jesus Christ. We have our friends and our families, our siblings, who need to worship Jesus Christ. And in this, we are given this call, right? Because in this future sense of verse 4 and 5 is that they will worship. They will sing the praises of Jesus. That is what is to come. And for that message of the good news of Jesus, we could apply that to today. That we are the missionaries and the messengers that are to go out to these people to tell them about Jesus, to make disciples of all nations. That we have our modern kings and judges as well that need to hear the word of God. There are people in here today that need to understand why it's so important and imperative to give their praises to Jesus. We see this in Luke 19, 37 through 40. Because somebody in here could be saying, I don't need to give praise to Jesus. Or what has he done? Or what is the point for me to give him praise? And Jesus kind of, I love this response here, is when Jesus is riding into Jerusalem. He said, as he was drawing near, already on the way down the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of his disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they have seen, saying, blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. And some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to him, Teacher, rebuke your disciples. And he answered, I tell you, if these were silent, the stones would cry out. So he's saying, if they didn't worship me, the stones of the ground would cry out and worship me. Even nature knows the name of Jesus. His creation knows very well that he deserves praise. And if I don't cry out and give him praise, the rocks will. As I get older, I realize this phrase of life be lifing. And for those who don't know what that means, it basically means life is hard. Life is going to do what life does. One day you're waking up watching Power Rangers, and next thing you know, you're watching violence and war on TV. Life be life. As a kid, maybe one of the biggest strifes in your life was seeing your fish dead in the tank. But now you're having to see your friend or your parent buried. Life be life. One day you're getting up to Thanksgiving dinner with your family, but now your family has been divided and it hasn't been the same since. Life be life. The beauty of the Lord is that He doesn't leave us when things get difficult. For though the Lord is high, He regards the lowly. This is encouraging because God is compassionate to the vulnerable. That hardships, even now, even when we come to church on a Sunday and say, God, please. Last week was hard. Can you make it a little easier this week? That there's no guarantee that it's going to get any easier. And David knows this. He says, though I walk in the midst of trouble, you preserve my life. You stretch out your hand against the wrath of my enemies, and your right hand delivers me. We read here that David is not, his life is no walk in the park. Even the man that's considered a man after God's own heart has a hard life. That even David cannot handle the stress of his enemies coming for him over and over again. Trouble surrounds him like a mist. Think of that imagery. It's all around you. It's what you breathe in. It's what you breathe out. Trouble is all around him. However, David knows his life and his actions rest in God's hands. It is the Lord who must preserve his life and stand by him. Our help comes from the Lord, friends. He is our firm foundation. He is our assurance. He is our confidence. Our confidence is in the Lord's purpose for us. And later on we see the Lord will fulfill his purpose for you and for me. His steadfast love, O Lord, endures forever. Do not forsake the work of the Lord. This is a powerful passage because we see in this last verse, even before the semicolon, that the Lord will fulfill his purpose for me. We see David publicly acknowledge his confidence in his petition for God to end his distress. He's confident that one day this will come to an end. That the Lord is continuously and even now working on that behalf. And his purpose will be fulfilled. This is a promise that he has for us. The purpose where we also see this, the purpose that speaks deeper into this is in Romans. We see, and we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good. For those who are called according to his purpose, for those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, in order that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those whom he predestined, he also called. And those whom he also called, he has justified. And those whom he has justified, he has glorified. We see that his purpose is to make us more like Christ and to bring us glory. And because God's steadfast love endures forever, even now, he is working in us to make us more like Jesus. He is making us more of an imitation of our Father. Even now we will experience God's faithful love as David did in this passage. This message is for you too. In the midst of your trouble, in the midst of your strife, in the midst of your distress, this is an encouraging news to know that you also can be glorified. That you will be justified through the work of Jesus Christ. But in this very verse, it's interesting as well, because we see that it's clear that David has a confidence in God's plan, but at the same time, he goes on to say, do not forsake the work of your hands. It's almost like your parent providing food for you every single day, right? And around the evening time, you go to them and say, well, remember, I get hungry around 7:30. So just make sure that you don't forget to have dinner ready for me. It's like, I'm able to have confidence that my parents are going to provide food for me, but at the same time, I got to remind them, just in case you forget, I'm still your child and I need to eat at 7:15, 7:30. And it's a similar fashion in the Psalms, is that the fact is that it's not easy for even the most faithful believer to be mindful of God's love and care at all times. So when singing psalms, it helps us to remember of God's care. It helps us. Earlier in the Sunday school, we talked about how the reason why we come to Sunday service, the reason why we come and we worship, is because it's so easy for us to forget of God's faithfulness, of God's goodness on a regular basis, and we need these reminders. Later on, we see some examples of similar things of this inside of our hearts. We see that almost like our confidence and our distress is at battle within ourselves. We want to trust God, but at the same time, we're like, Lord, I got to, please don't forget about me, because I'm really hurting right now. I'm really in distress. I know you, I've seen you do it before, but can you do it again? We see this in example of Psalm 119, 8 and 10. I will keep your statutes. Do not utterly forsake me. With my whole heart, I seek you. Let me not wander from your commandments. Almost like, yes, Lord, I will keep your commands, but don't forget me. As if God is going to forget us. But the good news here, and I'm closing here, is that we don't need to leave a reminder for God to fulfill His promise purpose for our lives. He's already sent His Son Jesus, where He lived a perfect and sinless life, completely obedient to God the Father. And like how my mom woke up preparing Thanksgiving dinner at 4 a.m., God prepared Jesus to be the perfect sacrifice. Why? Because our sin has separated us from God. Jesus died on the cross for you and for me so we could be reunited with our Father Jesus. So now, when you put your trust in Jesus, you now have someone saying grace for you. You have someone who has come and interceded and took the full wrath of God and what you deserved, and He took it on to Himself so that you can have a relationship with God. So now all the things that you deserved, He has instead, when you deserved hell and eternal punishment, He gave you glory on a silver plate. And now you're able to taste and see that He is good. Beloved, give thanks to the Lord because He is good. And His goodness is running after you. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I thank you for today. I thank you for your word. I'm grateful for how you continue to remind us that you are leaving your footprints, that you are leaving your handiwork, and showing, Lord, that you are constantly present in our lives, that you do not forsake us, that, Lord, that you preserve our lives, that you have our best interests at heart, that you are committed to our lives, to our flourishing, to our lives, more than we are for ourselves. So Lord, I pray that that we could remember the beauty of Thanksgiving, of giving you praise, and knowing, Lord, that you are our Father. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.